We're live again, and hopefully for a long time. And it's Wednesday night, and it's June 2nd. And for those who are listening on the podcast, I've organized the site so that on Wednesday night, year five, starting with episode one, is the cover of the big book, and we're on episode 78, and I just put out Faith Without Works is Dead, and I'm going to go all through the book. So on Wednesday, when you go to the site, if you go Wednesday, you'll have the whole book. Saturday's already there if you go to Saturday. I had 100 podcasts on the book, and they're all in order. The new podcast I'm putting out Saturday, year six, and that's where this family afterwards will go, and I put out several already. We've been meeting for, about a month? And we're only meeting twice a week instead of three times a week. We started the family afterwards last Saturday, and we're going to go through family afterwards. These are the spiritual principles that we're supposed to practice. So whether you're old or new, there's a lot of information in these chapters on how to live a spiritual life, how to live sober, in peace with yourself, with God, and with others. And so they're overlooked. And for quite a few years, when I did the study, we didn't cover these chapters because Joe and Charlie didn't cover them. So if Joe and Charlie didn't cover them, why should I cover them? You know, I am Michael the Magnificent, you understand. And then somebody pointed out to me that, well, it's in the book, you know, must be a reason. And I didn't have a good reason why we didn't do them. So I guess about 6 years ago, we started doing them, and it's really helped me a lot. We've gone through them several times. We've always did a vision for you, and we finished To Wives when we were still at Zoom. And we started the family afterwards, and this is after the individual has decided to sober up and is starting to try to live a spiritual life. This was written in 1939, so remember, it was assumed that they worked the steps as they had it put together before the big book was actually published. And so they're trying to reconstruct their lives. And we read To Wives, which is really to alcoholics and to the wives of alcoholics. It's what we look like, what's wrong with us, how we appear, how you could work with another alcoholic, how you could help them, how the wife or the husband could help them, family members. A powerful chapter. We only covered, I think, two pages last Saturday. I guess I was blabbering a lot. And we got to page 123. I think that's right. Don't tell me if I'm wrong, because that's where we're going to start. And they talk about how they talk about father and husband, but it, of course it could be wife. It could be the female. It says, father knows he is to blame. How do we know that we're the blame? Because we take step four and we inventory our life and our life run on self-will. And we inventory three things in step four because we're trying to let God direct our lives. Anybody think that's a good idea? Why do I want God to direct my life? Because I directed my life and I got a wristband almost 20 years ago. That's what I got out of it. And my life was a complete mess, and it was of my own making. My troubles rose out of me. I could see that. I couldn't see it when I came in. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just knew things were a mess. But as I worked step four and through the years, I could see that when I live a life run on self-will, three things happen. I have wrong judgment, which is called resentment. Anybody get angry? I have wrong belief, which is fear. Why is fear always wrong? Because it doesn't exist. It's not in the now. I have to bring it in. Why is resentment wrong judgment? Because I have to bring it in. It's not here right now. It's 7:44. I can't bring in a resentment from this morning unless I choose to, right? But it doesn't exist. And if I bring it in, then where's God? God's not in the moment then. And if I bring fear in, something that might happen, you know, maybe I left the garage door open before I left, and I'll come home and, you know, I'll get the husband improvement course. But that may not be true. I may have closed the garage door, you see, and it doesn't exist. And so it may seem preposterous, but fear and anger don't have to exist. And it's always wrong because it doesn't exist. It's not true. I don't know if my fears are true. But when I have them, I believe they're true. Anybody else believe them? Anybody else able to go home, sit in their chair, and start a saga within 30 seconds that ended up with you some catastrophe? And alcoholics are very good at that. Or you're reliving something that happened at 8 in the morning, and something that happened, and meanwhile, you're bringing that into your head, and the person that did whatever you thought they did is at home watching Big Bang, and they're not thinking about you at all. How preposterous is that? So we want to inventory our whole life, run on self-will, and see that it's never going to work. And not only didn't it work, but I was angry, I had fear, and I harmed people. I made decisions based on my anger and my fear that caused me harm, and harmed people that I loved. And so we could see the blame, and so those are our wrongs. And then the exact nature of my wrongs are my character defects that are triggered. And I just handed out some of the spiritual checklists, and that's on the site for those listening on the podcast. And Scott C. put this together years ago. Good job, buddy. 10 years ago. And I've given out how many of these? 2,000 maybe. And has anybody read them? I don't know. The St. Francis prayer is on the back, but it's really, it shows my personality run on self-will, and then I have to have a personality run on God's will. And what's my choice going to be every minute? Is it God is everything or me everything? I have to make that decision all day long. And we were talking about it before the meeting, and so I know I'm the blame for, you know, the troubles in my life. Now today, I think I've repaired a lot of that. I have good relationships with my family members, and I think I've repaired the damage. But when you come in, this is a new person coming into the connection with the family, trying to reconstruct their home life. And this is the thing that I think that you don't really get enough help with this. A lot of people go to treatment for 30 days, and then they come home, and they're sober 30 days, and they announce it, and people are looking at them, who cares? The dog's been sober, too, for 30 days, and nothing's changed, and it's hard. It's very hard. And I don't think I remember enough how hard it was the first 30 days, just coming back into the environment. And so I think we need to remember that. And it says it may take him many seasons of hard work to be restored financially, but he shouldn't be reproached. Perhaps he will never have much money again. But the wise family will admire him for what he is trying to be rather than for what he is trying to get. Now that's a powerful line. It's another one of these spiritual principles that's just hidden. We want to be admired for what we're trying to be, not what we're trying to get. Getting things are things, but what do we want to be? Why do they talk about being? It says, God remove my fear and direct my attention to how I should be. Why do they talk about being in the big book? Now, people at meetings talk about what they're going to do, but the big book talks about how you should be, and you should be the character of God. You should have God's character, be God's character all the time, being love, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassionate. How you be determines how you'll act. If you be loving, you're going to act accordingly. If you be hateful, you've seen how that's worked. And so how you be determines what you do, and how you be determines what you're going to practice. And so the being, that's why the St. Francis prayer is on the back, and it's such a powerful thing. It's because what am I going to bring into every situation? What am I going to be? Am I going to be understanding? Am I going to be loving? Am I going to be self-forgetting? am I going to be forgiving? I'm going to bring love, forgiveness, harmony, truth, faith, hope, light, joy. Can you see why they grabbed onto this? AA? Because this is the deal. And so what I be determines what I'll get. And what I bring in every situation will determine what I get out of it. And I heard a speaker, he said something that just, I can still remember. He said, the only thing lacking in any situation is the love I don't bring into it. Think about it. If you bring love in it, and that's what we're, you know, if you're Christians, that's what we're told to do, is to be loving and be loving and bring love. And if we do that, then the interaction may not go the way we want, but we won't be disturbed by it because we'll be loving. And then when you're trying to get something, what are you trying to get? That becomes self-centered again. I'm trying to get what I think I need rather than trying to be the person God created. And so I have to watch for that. And I don't have to watch for it that much, too much anymore. I'm too old, and I'm retired now, and you know, I've reached the point where I have to find things to worry about, and so I try not to. I don't know if anybody thinks that's funny, but I live my whole life in fear, and I don't have to do that anymore. I don't think we're going to cover much tonight either. Now and then, the family will be plagued by specters from the past, for the drinking career of almost every alcoholic has been marked by escapades, funny, humiliating, shameful, or tragic. Did anybody have any escapades? Anybody not? The first impulse will be to bury these skeletons in a dark closet and padlock the door. The family may be possessed by the idea that future happiness, I love this, can be based only upon forgetfulness of the past. We think that such a view is self-centered. Think about that. And in direct conflict with the new way of living. Now, why do they say that? If I forget the past, then I'm going to forget my first step. I'm going to forget that I'm powerless over alcohol, that I can't manage my own life. I'm going to forget that I'm an alcoholic, that I can't take the first drink successfully, and that without God, I can't keep from drinking today. So I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget how bad it was the day I surrendered. And it was pretty bad, and I could still remember how bad that was the first month or so. And Father Leo says that's why you want to go to meetings, is because you have to go to meetings and you meet your alcoholic, and you can keep that moment alive of complete defeat. And when you stop going to meetings, you may not keep that moment of defeat alive. And he says that's why the Jews talk about the Holocaust, because they don't want anybody to forget it so it won't happen again. Right? And so it's the same thing with us. And our new way of living is that the past and moves me to submit myself to God. It moves me every morning to ask God on awakening to direct my thinking, divorcing it from selfish, dishonest, self-seeking motives. And I must admit, occasionally I'll forget. And then I start thinking about me. Anybody else do that? And then I have to stop and say, I forgot the prayer. And so it's very important to start the day off knowing that I need God. But I pray every morning before I get out of bed. And I ask God for guidance. I have my own set of prayers that have changed as I've studied Scripture. But we don't want to forget that. Does that make sense? And we want to stay humble. And to stay humble means we have to understand our powerlessness all the time. Not only imagining our lives, but keeping from drinking and changing people. Anybody try to change anybody today? We have to remember how powerless we are, really on our own, and to stay humble. Henry Ford once made a wise remark to the effect, we're on page 124 for those who are trying to follow, that experience is the thing of supreme value in life. Experience is observation of facts or events. That is true only if one is willing to turn the past to good account. So we want to turn the past to good account, not bad account. And how can we do that? By using it to help others, using it to help us keep seeking God all the time. And experience is very important. And I had a young man join us. This was, 16, 17 years ago. He was great. And he was just out of training, and I'd had, 30 years of experience by that time. And he I mentored him, and he would come and he'd ask me questions, and he'd say, "Well, I want to do this. I think I should do this." I said, "Okay." He looks at me, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "Well, I wouldn't do it." He says, "Why?" I said, "Because it's experience has told me that it's not going to work. It's not going to be helpful." So experience is really important, and it's really helpful. But you don't learn, you have to learn. And I learned from experience what was helpful and how to talk to people when they were dying of cancer, and how to know when to stop treatment, but that's something you learn. But you have to keep growing in your experience. And we have to grow in our experience of God, right? We're experiencing the big book, we're experiencing God's relationship in our lives, and we have to grow, keep growing with that. Does this make sense? Because if not, we go back. And the more we experience God, the more we trust God. Is that good? Yes, because if we trust in God, I'm going to rely on Him. And I don't want to rely on me anymore. That didn't work. And so experiencing the power of the steps constantly, seeking God, nothing can replace that. That's why a lot of people choose sponsors, because of how long they've been sober. And then they'll tell me, "Well, so-and-so is my sponsor, and he's sober 25 years. And that's good. But what you want to know is, what's his experience over the 25 years? What has he done? What is his relationship with God? Has he worked these steps? How are they incorporated into his life? And how would you know? By their emotional sobriety. You know, his level of contentment and peace and serenity. And so what we really need in AA is emotional sobriety. And the more we experience God, the more emotional sobriety we have. So it's a continuous spectrum. And so that's why we named it Experience the Big Book. I don't even remember why. It was so long ago. I am getting old, but we want to experience the power of the steps, that the information in this book in our lives. Now, we don't worship the book. It's just the book. It's just pages with, but we worship the treasure. This is the treasure map to the treasure. I don't have a treasure map that worked for me. So that's why I decided to do this study, so people could follow this map, and they might not have to die in their car at 4 a.m. like my son did. And I think that's why I haven't died in my car yet, because I'm experiencing this treasure map. It is a treasure map. It's given us by God. And so, and it says, we grow by our willingness to face and rectify errors and convert them into assets. So the more willingness we have, and I, when I put out step 8 on the site, the talk that I'm putting out, it's on, I reviewed all the examples of willingness in the big book, where they talk about willingness and how important that is. If I'm willing to turn the past, and I grow by my willingness to face and rectify errors. And isn't that really 6 and 7 all day long? Am I willing to face and change my thinking? And am I willing to change my behavior? Am I willing to change how I be at that moment? And if I do that, then it becomes an asset. So I want to change my behavior and thinking. The alcoholic's past thus becomes the principal asset of the family, and frequently is the only one. Why? Because it should drive the whole family to seek God. We don't want to live the way we were. Remember, someone commented on it Saturday. It says on page 77, and it's not quoted a lot because I don't think people want to hear it that much, but it's in squiggly writing. And they talk about the reconstruction of, maybe it isn't 77. It says, this is where they're talking about the family, reconstruction with the family. Is this helpful? Is it okay, Grace? All right, good. All right, because they talk about the alcohol as a tornado. Any of you tornadoes roaring your way through the lives of everybody, and then you get out of the cellar, you say, well, what's the matter? You know, and we don't see it. So it says, yes, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. People have to remember that for everybody, for the whole family. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we're sorry won't fill the bill at all. Why? Because it doesn't mean you've changed. You could say you're sorry. What they want to see is the change. What's that expression? Be the change. And it says, so we clean house with the family, and this is every morning I ask in meditation with my Creator, show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Show me the way to be that. That's what I ask. And I ask it with everybody, the whole world, everybody who I'm going to encounter that day. And then it says, it's hidden in here, but it says the spiritual life is not a theory. And in squiggly writings, we have to live it. So what happens if you don't live the spiritual life? You're living your self-centered life. Nothing's changed. And then you have no power to tell you that drinking's a bad idea. And you have no power to change your personality. And then you get irritable, restless, and discontented. And then you have a bad day. And your mind says, you need a drink. And you've been sober 2 months. You've been sober 3 months or 6 months. You deserve it. And you believe it, and then you drink. And then you wonder how that happened. And that's why it's so important to stay in the steps, to stay doing this. At least it is for me. And so it says, this painful past may be of infinite value on page 124 again to other families still struggling with their problems, so you can help other people. And that's where Al-Anon has been so helpful. And I really think that after studying this and talking to a couple wives who've called me when their husbands have been a mess, that we really should talk to the wives when we start to work with someone. And find out really what's going on, because you know the alcoholic's not going to tell you anything. So I'd worked with one guy for quite a while, and then his wife called me, and she's telling me all these things, and said, well, I didn't know any of that. And it would have made a big difference in terms of trying to see the truth. And so that's what they did. The reason why it occurred to me was because they would meet with the wife in the beginning before the husband, because the husband would want to come. And they'd hear about it through word of mouth in Akron, and they would bring, the wives would come, and they would tell about the husband, then they'd go out and they'd get the husband and bring him to the meeting and take him upstairs. And they took him upstairs and they did the third step with him. And then they would vote to see if he really meant it. And if they thought he was really serious, he could go to the meeting. And if not, they had to keep doing it. They were very serious about this because they were dealing with people who were dying, and this book is really very, very helpful if you could see the hopelessness of your condition of mind and body, and it's really written for hopeless people to give them hope and a plan of action that'll work. Now, if you don't think you're hopeless and you're not 100% defeated, then it won't matter how many times you read the book, because you're not going to do it. being completely defeated is a great thing. It's a gift. I don't know why I got defeated that day, but it was God's plan. And if you think back to your own situation, you didn't wake up that day and say, I'm going to be completely defeated. And so, and I think it's important to know that happened. Now, some people may have gradual defeat, but there has to be a point when you give up, you're done, and you see that you're completely licked. And if that happens, that's a gift, because then you'll have the humility to be willing to change. And then you'll believe you can change when you come to meetings, and you'll decide to change in step three, and then you'll do the work. So how do you know if somebody's really completely defeated? They'll do what you tell them to do. And they won't they won't argue or say, well, you know, I'm too busy, and you know, I've got things going on. And that's why we have so little success rate. It's not because we're not doing a good job, it's the disease itself tells you don't have this. You're not that bad. It's not that bad. I'm overreacting. And so the ego rebuilds quickly. When we do the second step proposition, Henry Thibault says that ego rebuilds very quickly. And so that's why it's important to get somebody who's really defeated and start getting them right into doing the steps and getting them to get to step four quickly so they can see the truth. It shouldn't take you too long to admit you're powerless over alcohol. And with a little bit of help, you can see how unmanageable your life is. But if you're completely defeated, you're living it. And then to believe that there's a power that can help you, that should be pretty obvious if you come to a meeting and you talk to some people and they tell you where they were. And that's how you can help the new person. You tell them how bad it was for you, and that, you know, look what's happened to me by doing this. Not that I'm good or anything, but what God's done for me because of the work I've done. And then how long can it just take you to decide not to play God anymore? You know, it doesn't take a long time for those three steps, but then it says, next and at once, you need to launch into a course of vigorous action. Why? Because if not done at once, the third step will have no value. It won't work. And so people say, well, I did the third step, and then I keep taking it back. They don't understand. We don't know how to let God direct my thinking, because I've never done it. And so the process is by looking at how I directed my life and seeing the mess I made and learned how to be free from fear and anger in step four, and then to see my character defects and be willing to let go of them all day long in six and seven all the time. And then see how I harm people, be willing to make amends. It doesn't take a long time to do all that. And so it says, we think each family which has been relieved owes something to those who have not, and when the occasion requires, each member of it should be only too willing to bring former mistakes, no matter how grievous, out of their hiding places. I'd be careful. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. And I think that's quoted a lot in the Al-Anon meetings. Showing others who suffer how we were given help. We're given help. We're not the help. We were given help by God. God has all power. May you find him now. I'm given help by admitting I need help and asking for help. And is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile for us now. Really, my best experiences now are when I work one-on-one with someone. And it really helps me a lot. And it builds my self-esteem. It makes me feel good about myself when I'm trying to help somebody else. It gets me out of me. Showing, not that I'm great or anything, but it gets me doing positive work, doing God's, serving God, helping others. And cling to the thought, here's a great line, that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. Think about that. And that's why if you're not working with someone, you're really, you're not doing the deal, because that's the name of the game, is to carry the message. If not, we wouldn't be here tonight, right? And so the thought that in God's hand, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, because you can tell people what it was like and what happened and what you're like now and what you did. Because remember, we're not giving people advice. We're merely showing them, telling them what we did. And that's all this book is. This book is just a testimony of what they did. Now, AA doesn't tell you you have to do anything. It just says if you don't have a plan that works and you're hopeless, try this plan and let us know what happens. And then it's your experience that you're going to share. So that's what they're talking about, the experience. You'll share with someone else how your life has changed by doing this. Now, if you haven't done it, you can't share it. And the people say, well, I don't want to share it because I might do it wrong. Well, you can't hurt an alcoholic. I mean, they're dying. And so there's not a question of doing it right or wrong. That's just an excuse. And so I really think it's, if you really want to, everybody's leaving, so I guess I'm babbling too long. I don't know. With it, you can avert death and misery. I'll just read a little bit more and then I'll shut up. It's possible to dig up past misdeeds so they become a blight, a veritable plague. And here they talk about love affairs, people forgive, and then under one provocation or another, the aggrieved one would unearth the old affair and angrily cast its ashes about. The aggrieved one, notice the words, the aggrieved one, because they're blaming someone else. They have a resentment, and they're using that to blame the person for their resentment and justify their behavior because of what somebody else did. And isn't that what our four steps all about, is seeing that? How we resent somebody else, but we were the ones who started the ball rolling. And so you have to be very careful. It says, husbands, wives have sometimes been obliged to separate for time until new perspective, new victory over hurt pride could be re-won. Now, how do you gain victory over hurt pride? Forgiveness. You forgive. You truly forgive. And if you can't, you ask God to help you forgive. Because if you forgive, then they don't have power over you anymore. And so, and we think that unless some good and useful purpose is to be served, past occurrences should not be discussed. So, I don't know, I did a lot of talking about what the steps are all about tonight and this and that. We have some new people here, and so I thought that would be good in this, but you'd see how these spiritual principles are all throughout these pages. So we'll pick up on Saturday on 125, and there's a lot of good stuff in here. And so I'll stop there. Thank you.